Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, plans for a surgical hub at Letterkenny University Hospital are said to be progressing well. Children in Donegal are still waiting for funding to be released from the Children's Disability Services Fund. The Dáil has been told today that the failure to pass legislation extending the increase in the cap for defective block homeowners to those already going through the scheme is cruel. And investigations are continuing after a man was hospitalised following a weekend assault in Letterkenny. Those stories do follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Chris Ashmore. First news. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum has been told the plans for a surgical hub at Letterkenny University Hospital are progressing well. Three Donegal members, the Forum's chair, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, and Councillors Kieran Brogan and Declan Meehan, had raised questions, particularly after an initial HSE response concentrated on the proposed ambulatory care hub and the development of a development control plan for the hospital campus. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In their initial written response, HSE officials confirmed a Capital Programme Oversight Board has been established at Letterkenny University Hospital to oversee the creation of the development control plan for the LUH campus. The reply also stated a design team will be appointed early next year to prepare preliminary options for the proposed ambulatory care hub, which will provide surgical and oncology facilities in the long term. Councillors Brogan, McMonagall and Meehan all questioned why the replies contained so few details about the surgical hub. Regional Executive Officer Tony Canavan said the proposal is progressing well under the auspices of the National Programme, a design team he said will be appointed in the first quarter of next year. Mr Canavan also stressed the significance of the Development Control Plan, saying it'll guide how all hospital services are coordinated into the future. This, he indicated, will be particularly important in terms of reducing oncology wait times and improving cancer services at the hospital.
Children in Donegal are still waiting for funding to be released from the Children's Disability Services Fund. It's almost 2 years since it was announced to much fanfare that €3.6 million was being sanctioned for four service providers for children with additional needs in Donegal. It led to a Donegal mother claiming her son Jack had been used as a photo prop. Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty received a promise from government in July that the funding would finally be paid out. He says the time for excuses is over.
I think this is just unbelievable that we're at this situation. We all know the background to this year. This was emergency funding because the HSE was not able to provide services and therapies for children with additional needs in Donegal. It was supposed to be delivered 2 years ago before Christmas. We've had photo opportunities on the eve of elections with some of the children, only to find out then that no money existed. When I raised it then again in the Dáil, the money was supposed to be released. Then we found out only half of it was going to be released. We had to challenge again, and then we were told all of it would be released without delay. But now the summer has rolled on and still these organisations don't have the money on the ground.
And do we know why this is the case?
There's been many reasons over the start since this was announced, and you know, it took not only it to be raised at ministerial level in questions, but also to be raised at leaders' questions to embarrass the government into acting. What the government will tell you now is that they're in a process of drawing down the money with the organisations. But to me, that's not good enough. Like, if you have a government that is child-centred, if you put the child, that young boy, that young girl who might, you know, is worried about whether they'll be able to speak and need speech therapy, or whether it's been able to walk and need supports there. Like, if you put yourself in the centre of the child, you will not be waiting 22 months to release emergency funding. And emergency funding because the state is failing to provide what these children are entitled to. Like, there is no excuses in my view. I'm sick tired of the excuses.
The Dáil has been told the failure to pass legislation extending the increase in the cap for defective block homeowners to those already going through the scheme is cruel. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin told TDs the reality on the ground is that people are facing huge gaps between the actual cost of the remediation and what's available through the scheme. He said describing the current scheme as 100% redress is clearly inaccurate.
A year ago, the government said they would extend the increase in cap to everybody going through the scheme. How on earth have you not produced the legislation to now? It's cruel. People are struggling to find tens of thousands. I met some of the other day, €200,000 is the gap. They had a six-year mortgage. They'll now have a 19-year mortgage.
Thank
That's
you,
so-called 100% redress
Thank
in the west of Ireland compared
you.
To 100% redress for Pyrite
Deputy
in the east. How dare you say
Thank
that you've
you,
stepped
Deputy.
Up and done what's right?
Time's
the people
up.
In the west of Ireland have been treated with
Deputy
utter contempt by this government when it comes to this scheme.
Three candidates have now officially registered their nominations for the presidency. Independent Catherine Conley submitted her paperwork at the Custom House this afternoon, joining Fianna Fáil nominee Jim Gavin and Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys on the ballot paper. She briefly spoke to the media ahead of submitting her nomination. Ms Conley used the opportunity to defend comments made yesterday, where she described Hamas as part of the fabric of the Palestinian people.
I've condemned them without hesitation, but I've repeatedly said history did not start on the 7th of October. And I was asked in the context of that, was Hamas a terrorist organisation? And yes, it has all been described and prescribed as a terrorist organisation. What they did on the 7th of October is outrageous, but I will use the time again to point out that genocide is unfolding in front of our eyes.
Maria Steen, meanwhile, now has the confirmed support of 17 TDs and senators in her bid for the presidency. The barrister received the official backing of the four independent Ireland TDs and Deputy Johnny Healy-Ray this afternoon, including Minister Marion Harkin. With rumours of an 18th signatory set to confirm their support, she needs the backing of just two more members of the Oireachtas to make it onto the ballot next month. Maria Steen says she's doing whatever she can to get there.
I'm talking by phone. I'm here today, willing to meet anybody. And time runs out for me tonight, I'm afraid. Because there just won't be enough time tomorrow morning to get any more signatures, just with the logistics of it.
A man was hospitalised after a weekend assault in Letterkenny. At around 12:30 a.m. on Saturday, the man was attacked in the High Road area by another man who's described as being tall, of a slim build, with dark hair, and is understood to have been wearing a black jacket and black trousers. Anyone with information is being asked to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny. Meanwhile, investigations are continuing into a weekend crash on the main Letterkenny to Lifford Road. A black Nissan was travelling from Lifford at the time of the collision at around 8:40 a.m. on Sunday. The driver and passenger were taken to hospital for treatment to injuries sustained. Garda Grainne Doherty is urging anyone with information to come forward.
This occurred on the N14 in the area of Carrick and Dawson Ravoe on Sunday the 21st of September, shortly after 8:40 a.m. So the vehicle involved was a black Nissan. It had been travelling from Lifford towards Letterkenny when this collision occurred, and the vehicle had ended up in a ditch. The driver and passenger of the vehicle were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment for, thankfully, non-life-threatening injuries. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed this collision to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100. If anybody travelled along that route, the N14, the Lifford to Letterkenny road with a dash cam, between 8:30 a.m. and 8:50 a.m, we're asking them, as always, to make that footage available to us.
The head of the government's Shared Island Unit has told an Oireachtas committee funding for initiatives will be additional to money already being invested. Eimear Dean, an assistant secretary at the Department of the Taoiseach, was appearing before the committee on the implementation of the Good Friday Agreement. She outlined a number of initiatives being pursued by the unit at the moment, a number of them in the North West.
Agreement to fund a teaching building as part of the expansion of Ulster University's Derry campus, which has now progressed to planning. The operation of a new enterprise scheme promoting women's entrepreneurship, developing all-island clusters and investing in sustainability action by firms, and a brand collaboration and marketing initiative by tourism agencies to grow tourism in the Northwest and in the North Coast region. So looking ahead, specific investment objectives and commitments set by government through the Programme for Government and through the National Development Plan relevant to the Shared Island Initiative include to work with the executive to deliver the A5 road upgrade, establish air connectivity between Dublin and Derry, and to develop the vision set out in the All-Ireland Rail Review. Funding to deliver projects is and will continue to be drawn from a range of government sources, with the Shared Island Fund providing additionality to drive and to enable all-island reach and investment. The government's all-island partnership approach is an important feature of delivering projects and programmes. As the Taoiseach said in April, the government's strengthened partnership with the UK government and positive engagement with the Northern Ireland Executive, including through the North-South Ministerial Council, now provides the most promising context we have had for years to harness what North-South and East-West partnerships can deliver.
It's believed the overwhelming majority of people applying for asylum in Ireland are entering the country via the border with the north. Almost 88% of applications for asylum so far this year have been made at the International Protection Office in Dublin. The Justice Minister has revealed the figure at a meeting with the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Migration today. Jim O'Callaghan says this indicates most people aren't coming through Irish ports.
That suggests that the overwhelming majority of people who are claiming international protection in Ireland, they're coming from the United Kingdom, arriving into Northern Ireland and coming down claiming international protection in Ireland. The reason we say that is because if somebody arrives into Dublin Airport or one of the ports and they wanted to claim asylum, they would do it there and then.
Gardaí are appealing for information after a car was found burnt out in Lifford on Saturday night. The car parked in the Croghan Heights area was set alight shortly before 11:30 p.m. Gardaí are particularly keen to speak to anyone who witnessed two people in the area with their hoods up around the time of the fire. A HSE audit from 2023 has found that hospital consultants in the West and Northwest were the second highest average earners in the state after their counterparts in HSE Dublin South East. The audit results, details of which are published in today's Irish Independent, show that nationally the number of hospital consultants earning over €350,000 for treating public patients jumped to 99 in the space of a year. The average remuneration for the 99 consultants was €416,000, with the highest getting paid €963,000, slightly less than they received the previous year. Stormont politicians have been debating the role of the Republic of Ireland's government when it comes to the legacy of Northern Ireland's troubles. It comes days after the Irish and UK governments announced they've reached an agreement on new frameworks, which is still being examined by politicians and victims groups. SDLP member of the Assembly, Matthew O'Toole, says we need to know more about that framework.
The proposals which have come out from the UK and Irish governments are, as yet, scant in some detail. There clearly is progress in some areas, but there are real concerns that need to be addressed and will be addressed, I hope in part through legislation and engagement with victims and survivors first, parties in this chamber.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with soccer, and an FAI delegation will appear before a joint Oireachtas committee meeting tomorrow, just days after stating they would not be able to attend. The association informed the committee via letter on Friday that they would not attend the hearing on Kildare Street. However, they have performed a U-turn and will meet with deputies to discuss the association's approach to safeguarding concerns. Elsewhere in soccer, Liverpool manager Arne Slot says he'll field a completely changed lineup for tonight's EFL Cup Round 3 tie with Southampton. In the other games, Chelsea travel to Lincoln. League 2 club Cambridge United are the visitors to Craven Cottage to face Fulham. And there's an old Premier League tie between Wolves and Everton. Finn Harps have dropped to 7th spot in the SSE Airtricity League First Division after last night's 3-1 home defeat against Wexford, which followed a loss against Bray on Friday. Next up is a long trip to Cove, and their playoff hopes look to be all but over. Here's assistant manager Tommy Canning.
The chances are slim at best for a playoff place, but again, when you're conceding goals like that and the two we give away in Bray on Friday night, then you don't really deserve to be in a playoff when you're conceding those types of goals. So it's a case of trying to kind of find the positives out of it, trying to carry that into the week that's in it, and then trying to carry that into next season. But it's not over, but I don't know how much hope there is at the minute, to be fair.
In Gaelic games, Kieran McGeaney will continue to be the longest-serving inter-county football manager following the confirmation that he will take charge of Armagh for a 12th season. McGeaney, who captained his county to a Sam Maguire success in 2002 before managing the Orchard County to the title in 2024, was ratified at a county committee meeting. In rugby, Munster have confirmed that Tadhg Byrne will remain as captain for the upcoming season. The 33-year-old forward took the armband banned from legendary back rower Peter O'Mahony ahead of last season. Munster get their URC campaign underway this Saturday with a trip to Scarlett's. In golf, as the countdown continues to the Ryder Cup, Europe's captain Luke Donald feels the familiarity of the team could be an advantage as they aim to retain the trophy against the United States. 11 players who were part of the victory in Rome 2 years ago will return for this year's competition away at Bethpage in New York. Donald says that's made team bonding sessions much easier.
We understand that it's going to be a big challenge, but I'm very excited about my team, where we are, the form we have coming into this, and I'm excited about getting going on Friday.
In swimming, Dervla Brady came fifth in the final of the 200 metres medley SM6 at the World Para Swimming Championships in Singapore earlier. The Derry native is back in the pool on Thursday for the 50 metres freestyle S6 final. In cricket, legendary cricket umpire Harold Dennis Dickie Bird has died aged 92. The Yorkshire County Cricket Club announced that the beloved figure had died peacefully at home. He officiated in 66 tests and 76 one-day internationals, including 3 World Cup finals. And in racing, 53-year-old jockey Shamey Heffernan, who's been riding for the past 37 years, he rode Crystal Clare to victory for trainer John Mallon in today's feature race on day 3 of the Listowel Harvest Festival, the Edmund and Josie Whelan Memorial listed stakes over a mile. Meanwhile, Dylan Brown McMonagall notched up another win on board the 5-4 favourite Limestone for trainer Joseph Patrick O'Brien in an EBF rated race over a mile. He also had a second and 2/3. And finally, Michaela, the price of a pint of Guinness will be cut to 2022 prices as part of a major initiative by Cheltenham to win back racegoers after years of falling crowds at the festival. Mind you, it's still not cheap. They're reducing the price by 30 pence on last year, but it's still going to cost £7.50 sterling. And that is your Tuesday evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. And returning to some news, the Northern Ireland Infrastructure Minister has reaffirmed her commitment to the delivery of the long-awaited A5 project following a motion put forward by the SDLP yesterday in the Assembly. Liz Kimmin says she's determined to find a way forward to see the road built as quickly as possible in a bid to save lives. A High Court ruling in June further stalled the project. Over the past 18 years, over 50 people have died on the road. An appeal against the quashing of planning approval for the long-awaited infrastructure project is due to be heard in December. Meanwhile, also in the Assembly, the North Economy Minister has defended Invest NI's record in the North West. Minister Kiva Archibald was responding to questions from Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin over the resignation of Strabane businessman Kieran Kennedy from the Invest NI board. He claimed the agency's decision to keep its North West office at Timberkey in Derry rather than moving to a new location showed a lack of commitment to the region. The minister says recent announcements by Seagate, EY, Fintree and others shows that there is a considerable level of investment taking place. Minister Archibald says that a commitment to regional balance remains.
I regret that Kieran has resigned over an operational decision. In terms of the North West and my commitment to regional balance, I think that the evidence is there in respect of investment into City of Derry Airport and into to McGee expansion, but also working alongside Invest NI in terms of the type of investment that we have seen in jobs announcements and in R&D investment just as recently as last week in Seagate, EY, Alchemy, Fintru.
These investments, the private sector investments that you speak about, were predominantly made by the private sector themselves. That wasn't good enough for Kieran Kennedy. So how do you expect it to be good enough for the people of Derry? And is it good enough for you?
As somebody who is from the North West, I have a vested interest in making sure that it is invested in and that we absolutely deliver for the people that we represent there. And I know that is something that the member also shares. As I say, I'm disappointed, obviously, that Kieran felt that he had to take the decision he did. I understand the reasons that he did in terms of the decision around the office in the Northwest. That's something that I know Invest NI continues to work towards resolving. But as I have indicated, my commitment to delivering on regional balance is, I think, clear and evident to see. And I think that the delivery we have seen over recent weeks and months supports that, and is something that I will ensure in my term of office continues.
Men in Ireland are dying too young of causes which are largely preventable, according to a new report. Movember says 2 in 5 of all male deaths were premature, and men are 40% more likely to die too young than women. Mental health also remains a concern, with nearly all GPs surveyed as seeing male patients presenting with suicidal behaviour in the past year. Former president of the Irish Medical Organisation, Donegal Dr Dennis McCauley, says it's a societal issue.
I think we have to look at the causes. I think we first of all say, can we change it? Like, are there factors that we can change that would influence this? And the answer is yes. I think if you look at the commonest cause of cancer and death under 75, it is lung cancer, and smoking is the primary issue there. I think prostate cancer is very common. I think it's a cancer that is easily ruled out by visiting your GP. Within a day, we can rule out you don't have prostate cancer.
A van has been seized in Letterkenny after a disqualified motorist was caught drug driving. Gardaí were on patrol on Sunday night in the Port Road area when they encountered a van being driven by the disqualified driver. The driver subsequently tested positive for cocaine. They have since been charged to court. Gardaí are reminding motorists to not take unnecessary risks when it comes to road safety and to never drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Weather now dry tonight with long clear spells. Later in the night, some mist or fog patches will develop. Chilly tonight with lowest temperatures of 2 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Plans for a surgical hub at Letterkenny University Hospital are said to be progressing well. Three Donegal members of the Regional Health Forum, its chair Councillor Jeremy McMonagall and Councillors Kieran Brogan and Declan Meehan, raised questions, particularly after an initial HSE response concentrated on the proposed ambulatory care hub and a development control plan for the hospital campus. Children in Donegal are still waiting for funding to be released from the Children's Disability Services Fund. It's almost 2 years since it was announced to much fanfare that €3.6 million was being sanctioned for 4 service providers for children with additional needs in Donegal. The Dáil has been told the failure to pass legislation extending the increase in the cap for defective block homeowners to those already engaged with the scheme is cruel. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin told TDs the reality on the ground is that people are facing huge gaps between the actual cost of the remediation and what's available through the scheme. And investigations are continuing into a weekend crash on the main Letterkenny to Lifford Road. A black Nissan was travelling from Lifford at the time of the collision at around 8:40 a.m. on Sunday. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 23rd of September. The death has taken place of Patricia Patsy Brennan, née Barron, 325 Conyborough Road, Lifford, formerly of Ballyshannon and Athlone. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. No wake, the house is strictly private, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Patrick Pat Hanlon, Glasgow, Drumkeen and Meaninillar, Gwydor. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, tomorrow evening from 5 until Rosary at 8. Removal afterwards to the family home in Meaninillar. House strictly private, please, to family only. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam. And the death has taken place of Margaret McCallion, Meanta Halla, Ballymagan, Buncrana. Margaret's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.